trusting that we have been brought by the grace of God to repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, giving ourselves up to Him as a living sacrifice. And having been baptized in accordance with the Scriptures upon our profession of faith, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we joyfully and reverently renew our covenant with one another for the glory of our Father God. We will pray for and seek the unity of the Holy Spirit and the bond of peace. Through the careful study and application of the Holy Scripture, we will solemnly and joyfully meet our obligation to now lead new and holy lives, rejecting the ungodly things of the world, remembering that we are no longer slaves to sin, but heirs of God, living by the Holy Spirit. As commanded in God's holy word, we will walk together in brotherly love and will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, nor neglect to pray for ourselves and others. We will strive to edify one another with affection and care, but we will, as the occasion requires, admonish and entreat one another to faithfully keep His commandments. We will earnestly and prayerfully seek the salvation of our family, our friends, and our community through a pure and loving example of living our lives in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and by listening for and heeding the Word of God. We will rejoice with one another and for one another in times of happiness. We will equally bear one another's burdens, heavy or light, in times of sorrow and trial. We will together pray for the Lord to move within us that we might continue a faithful evangelical ministry in this church as we maintain its worship and doctrines. We will contribute cheerfully and regularly support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel throughout all nations. We will, when we move from this place, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can continue in the spirit of this covenant, in accord with the sound doctrine of God's holy word. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the saints, the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
Not in the gospel. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And join me there if you will, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let me read for you a text that we want to call to your attention this morning and cause you to think about it as we enter a brand new year. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to start reading with verse number 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. But you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night, nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask for light. We pray for light. We ask that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, send the light so that we may see and we may bring glory to you, Lord. And may we be not asleep in the light, but may we walk in the light and thereby bring glory to your name. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Lord's Day, I was here as a listener. It was the last few days of my vacation. Usually during that time, I attend another church in the area, sometimes out of the area if we're traveling, to experience worship, to learn, to grow, to be stretched. I'm so glad that I chose to come here last Lord's Day. The Holy Spirit really spoke to me through His Word. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. That was the text for last Lord's Day from Psalm 19. John Evelyn did a very good job of pointing out three things that I took home with me. Number one, creation is always speaking about God. Number two, creation is always speaking with visual aids. And number three, creation is speaking to all peoples of all times. As I sat last Lord's Day listening to this sermon, I did what some of you do, and I looked around. I couldn't help but wonder as I looked around in the congregation, are we listening to a man or are we hearing from God? It is my choice. It was my choice last Lord's Day either to focus on John's presentation or to listen for the Word of God and to search for, as you would search for hidden treasure, meaning from the holy text of Scripture. I left here Sunday. I couldn't get the words out of my head. The heavens declare the glory of God. I walked out of this church last Lord's Day and I looked up. As soon as I was on my way to the car, I said, "Oh God, forgive me for being asleep in the light." Many of you maybe left the same way. Maybe you were impacted by the reading of Holy Scripture and the presentation of these three points. Or some of you may have left last week missing completely an opportunity to hear from God. I heard different ones say to me, "When are you coming back?" And I know what that means, and I appreciate that very much. But down deep inside, I have to tell you, honestly and frankly, and as plain as I can say it, I am not the reason you should be worshiping. I am not the reason you should be listening. Anyone who stands up here and proclaims Holy Scripture demands our attention and our time. How dare we sleep in the light? All this week, thank you, John, for being a vessel of God. But all week, every morning, it looked different to me. Did some of you? I looked outside. I saw the sunshine, even when it got so cold. I was thanking God for the promise of a warmer day. But all the more, I was giving glory to God for every single day. Now, honestly speaking, how many of you just blew it? And you just focused on the hustle bustle, the problems, the getting cranked up for the new year, whatever. I'm afraid that many of us are really missing the glory of God from some of the simple things around us. And what a missed opportunity. And as I thought about what I should bring to the church as a New Year's Day message, I couldn't get this out of my mind, asleep in the light. It comes from a song that
songwriter in the 70s wrote, Keith Green. Some of you are familiar with his music. And I got out his music this week and was re-listening to some of the songs that shaped my young heart as I came to Christ when I was 17, 18 years old to commit my heart to Him. Listen to a portion of these words. How can you be so numb? Not to care if they come. You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know that's all I ever hear. No one aches. No one hurts. No one even sheds one tear. But He cries. He weeps. He bleeds. And He cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. The world is sleeping in the dark that the church just can't fight because she's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the dead and you can't even get out of bed. If you haven't heard that song, you want a copy of it, I'll make you a copy. It's powerful. It sort of shakes you up. It sort of gets you cranked up. It convicts you. It causes you to repent. Lord, I'm sorry that I haven't been seeing You, Your glory in nature. I've been looking to see You in the deep spiritual things. When in reality, you walk outside and the heavens declare the glory of God. All of it is all about us. We have no excuse for not bringing praise to God every day. Every day. And as a church, we've been so well fed. We've got great Sunday school teachers over there. Men that have been trained in the seminary even teaching for us over here. We've got women in this church who are ministry driven, who've got experience and time and effort and things. And we've got a great menu, if you call it, here. We're so well fed, as the song goes on to say, and we can't even get out of bed. Are we asleep in the light? Too many of us are. That's the reason why the church is not powerful, in my opinion. A recent study reports that the mortality rate is lowest with those who get 7 or 8 hours of sleep. You might be interested to hear about some of the sleeping habits of famous people. I did a little research this week. Napoleon didn't like sleep. He got about 4 hours a night. Thomas Edison and his whole research team spent only 4 hours in sleep a night. And Thomas Edison's own words were, "It's a waste of time." Lots of other illustrations of history about famous sleepers. Albert Einstein, he loved his 10 hours. Go, Albert. Winston Churchill, 6 hours will do, he said, but you're going to have to give me an hour and a half to 2 hour nap in the afternoon, especially during times of war. 1927, Charles Lindbergh flew solo across the Atlantic, 60 hours without sleeping. Andrew, could you do that? 60 hours. Eric, could you do that? Tony, some of you pilots, Bob, 60 hours without sleep. Martha Stewart, Margaret Thatcher, Madonna, 4 hours of sleep each night. I question some of that. Leonardo da Vinci, it is reported that Leonardo da Vinci slept 15 minutes every 4 hours. Michelangelo, 4 hours of sleep. Jay Leno, 4 to 5 hours of sleep. I got to thinking as I was reading about famous sleepers. Of course, I read about Sleeping Beauty and how that story came about. Several other stories of this. And I got thinking, does the Bible talk about anything about famous sleepers? And of course, I went to Acts chapter 20 and verse 9 and the story of Eutychus. Eutychus was listening to Paul preach, and with Paul's many words, Eutychus fell asleep and fell out of the window and fell several stories. And they thought he was dead. He probably was dead. Paul probably raised him from the dead. Good reason not to sleep during my preaching. Not far to fall, but you could hurt yourself. And then in Mark chapter 14, a very famous example of sleepers, Peter, James, and John goes to Jesus, to the most important hour of Jesus' life. And Jesus is praying, and he leaves his disciples there, and he says, "Watch and pray." And he comes back only a short time later, and snoozing they were, guilty as charged. He wakes them up, and he says, "Guys, watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation." And he goes away again, and they fall asleep again. He comes back the second time and he just shakes his head. Just go ahead. Just sleep. Famous sleepers. There's only one person in the Bible that I found, though, that was actually called a sleeper. And in the Hebrew, he's actually called O Sleeper. Do you know who he is? His name was Jonah. Jonah was sent on a mission, and he didn't want to do that mission for God. And so he went down in the bottom of the ship and went to sleep. Several theories about why he was sleeping. Maybe he was trying to sleep his conscience away. He knew he was out of the will of God, which I believe a lot of Christians do that. They're asleep in the light. They choose to be. He was called O Sleeper. But physical sleep is really not what I'm talking about, is it? That was just for fun. What are we really talking about when we talk about being asleep in the light? And this text in 1 Thessalonians points it out to us. Let's revisit it. Chapter 5 and verse 4. Paul writes this church, a great church it was. This Macedonia, this church that was one of Paul's favorites, in my opinion. The church at Thessalonica. He says in verse 4, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you like a thief." Of course, he's not talking there about the light of the sun or the rotation of the... He's talking there about a spiritual darkness or a spiritual light. "For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness." He's talking there to the church, to believers. And if any of you this morning are believers and you are living in darkness, living in perpetual sin and sin that is non-repentant sin, we all sin, we know this. But to live in it, to choose it, to follow it, and to disregard the call of God is to be asleep. He said, "We're sons of light and sons of day. We're not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep." That is a choice that I make, a choice that you make. The very same choice that I made last Lord's Day to listen to this man present Psalm 19 was a choice to be awake. And a choice to listen and to worship. And as I left this place and I went out and I thought in my heart, "The heavens declare the glory of God." All week, it's caused me to be more worshipful. It's caused me to give glory to God. He does not want us to be asleep. Well, Paul goes on to say, he says, "Let us not sleep as others do." Two things he says here. "But let us be alert and sober." Both of these verbs are present tense. They can be translated this way. Let us continue to be alert. Let us continue to be sober. Let me give you some more adjectives. Let us continue to be vigilant. I like that word. That is exactly the expression of this word, alert. Let us continue to remain vigilant. Vigilant about what? About the darkness. that wants to overtake us. Sin that wants to draw us in and keep us there. Whatever it may be, the darkness seeks as a black hole creates that vacuum that we see in movies. And you get too close to it and you just get kind of sucked into it. The black hole of sin. Are any of you there this morning? You're a Christian, but you're living in sin? It doesn't make sense. You're asleep in the light. Wake up! And the Bible calls us as a church to be alert, to be vigilant, to be watching, to be preparing ourselves. The second one, let us continue to be sober. That's an expression that means literally moral alertness. When we are asleep, we are neither vigilant nor are we sober, self-controlled, morally sensitive. We just sort of drift, don't we? You know, that's a good word that we use in sometimes talking in marriage classes. Drifting. Marital drifting. You don't know really when it started, but it started at some point and your relationship begins to drift off of where it should be. And it just keeps drifting, 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 drifting. That's what happens in the Christian life. That's what happens to a church. A church can drift off of high center. They can stop proclaiming the Word of God and start getting politically motivated or socially motivated feelings. All of these things can cause us to drift away from the main thing that we should be focused on, and that is the truth of God, which is the light. When we are awake in the light, we're going to see three things. I want you to show you this in the text. Look at what he says here. Verse 7. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night. Those who get drunk at night. Since we are of the day, let us be sober. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. These three words are put together for the second time in Scripture that I know of. 1 Corinthians 13 puts these three verses together, these three words together. Faith, hope, and love. Here he's putting them together as an illustration of what defines a person who is in the light and awake in the light. What's the opposite of faith? Faithless. What's the opposite of hope? Hopeless. What is the opposite of love? Loveless. Think of these things. Do they not define the world that we live in? A faithless, despairing, angry world. Read your newspaper. Listen to the news. Bombs going off all over our country. One war follows another war follows another war. People are angry behind the wheels of their car. People are angry in the line at Kroger's. I was a little bit angry this week about the little automated thing. You go there. I'm just almost brain dead when it comes to figuring that stuff out. And this voice comes on. Whatever. Please do your number so and so. And you do it and no, that's not the... And her voice just is irritating. And I wonder if this lady talks to her husband this way. Please take out the trash, please. I don't know where that came from, other than it's just we're so quick to get upset. We live in an angry world, a hopeless world, a faithless world, and we are supposed to be the light to that world. But beloved, many of us are asleep. We can't even see the glory of God in the face of the sky, in the great mountain ranges, in the incredible, incredible wonders of the earth that God has made, in the breath that I breathe, in the health that I have today, this moment, this hour. All of those things, and I'm afraid, as a church, We are asleep in the light. I don't want to be. I want to be awake. Go with me to Romans 13. Romans 13 is another passage where I remembered that Paul had said something about sleep. And in Romans chapter 13, in verse 11, here is Paul's writing to this church at Rome. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. What is the armor of light? The armor that covers the body from Satan's fiery darts. Is it not faith, hope, and love? Is it not having something to deal with life's wickedness and uncertainty and trials and difficulties, that we face it with faith, hope, and love? Otherwise, we do not have what we need to meet life's trouble and life's problems. As a church, will we be able to meet those things? Ending here in 1 Corinthians, I just want to show you this, where he says in verse 11, Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you're also doing. Two words, very important words. The first word here is translated encourage. Parakaleo, to call alongside. The Holy Spirit is called our, in the noun form, paraclete, our comforter, the one who comes alongside us and stands with us. That should be encouraging. Some people that come and stand beside you are not very encouraging because they have motives to tear you down or motives to do something else. We all know what that feels like, don't we? But the person that comes alongside you is an encourager. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to encourage one another with these things. Not to be asleep in the light. To wake up. To be alert. To be moral. To pursue godliness. To be a holy people. And then he says, to build up one another. This word to build up is a word, the noun form of this word is translated house. Oikeo, house. And when you put this word in a verb form, it's literally the builder of a house. A house builder. Some of you are in construction. This is how you make your living. You build houses. Well, this is the word here that he translated. Build up one another. Therefore, come alongside one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. The idea here is together, and these both of these verbs are present tense, continue doing these things, and imperative. Imperative is the command. It's not just a suggestion. He's commanding, and this is under inspiration. We're being commanded to do these things. The world is sleeping in the dark, and the church just can't fight because she's asleep in the light. Is your prayer, will your prayer be like mine for this new year? Lord, wake us. Would you be willing to pray this morning, Lord, whatever it takes, wake me up. Lord, whatever it takes, wake up our church. Scary thing to pray for. Lord, whatever it takes, wake me up. Don't let me sleep in the light. I want us to bow our heads. We're going to be preparing the Lord's table this morning for our communion. And as I lead us in a prayer this morning, I just pray that you will, as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart about what He sees, will you open your heart in repentant confession to Him this morning and say, Jesus, forgive me and bring me to the light. And as we share this communion table, that we will come together as a church, pledging our hearts afresh and anew this whole month of January till we meet again on the 1st of February for Communion Sunday, that we will stay awake. Lord, we come to you today. We know that this communion table is a serious matter. We know that we are called to examine ourselves. We know, Lord, that you know us. There's nothing we can hide from your eyes. And, oh Lord, many of us, we've not been awake to hear your voice for some time. And I pray that you would help us to wake up. That you would help us, Lord, to realize that we have a moral decision to make. To be vigilant. To be sober. To be ever moving closer to your call. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We would die without it. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We would just be crushed with shame without it. We thank you for what this table represents. And we sing praise to you, Lord, as the Lamb who was slain for us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to lead you in a chorus this morning. It's a new chorus, but it's an easy chorus for you to learn, I hope. And just whenever you feel comfortable with singing it, we will just share in the meaning of this chorus. And as the cup and the bread is passed, just hold it and we'll all partake of this communion together.
Without number, encircle his said, let blessing and glory and wisdom and might be ascribed evermore by angel of light to the Lamb that was slain.
This morning to say thank you. Thank you for what this cup and what this bread represents. Thank you that you are indeed the Lamb that was slain. And Lord, we bow before you today, singing honor and glory and wisdom and might. And Lord, we as your church enter this brand new year with this as our hope, that we will walk in the light, that others will see that light and come to it and give glory to God. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Everyone said, amen.